Thank you, Lord, that you love us, that you gave yourself for us, and Lord, that you dwell with us, Lord, by your Spirit, by your Holy Spirit, Lord. You said we're two or three together in your name, that you are there in the midst of them, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence, for your peace, for your strength, Lord, to get through the things in this life, the battles. Lord, we're thankful that we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us. And we're just thankful, Lord God, that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And we thank you that there will be a day of rest when we sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and with you. And we rest from all these labors and battles. But until then, Lord, we fight on in your name and in your strength by the power of your shed blood. And we are more than conquerors through you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Praise be to God. I don't know about you. I wouldn't make it without Jesus. I'd already be finished. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your Bibles this morning. We're going to go quickly to 2 Timothy, and then we're going to go to Matthew 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And anybody that knows me and knows our church and this ministry, we don't do holiday messages. So you got a happy Mother's Day before this started. You're welcome. We have to get in the Word. I talked about this verse last week, but I want to go to the verse underneath it. But we'll just read verse 12 and 13. It'll make sense to you as we get into this morning. Of course, last week I talked about persecution and how persecution is rising. And boy, is it ever. And it's only going to get more intense. Here's what it says here in 2 Timothy 3. It says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." Of course, the condition here is those who live godly in Christ Jesus, who really live for Jesus 100%, are bold, outspoken, they live their faith, and they don't just talk it, they walk it. But those people will, it doesn't say you might, it says you will have persecution, right? You will suffer persecution. Then verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Now, I know there's part of the church world out there that says things are going to get better and better. You know, your best life now, people. Your Joel Osteen preachers. That's not what this book says. It says evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The word seducers there in the Greek is the Greek word goes, and it means imposters, wizards who mutter spells. That's what the Greek definition, if you look up at the Strong's Greek Dictionary, it's what it says. So he's talking about people in the occult, people who pretend to be something, and then we find out that they're really evil. So he said these people are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. I like what it says there. It makes it very clear, but evil men. Somebody say evil men. So they're going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Then he tells us, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child that hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect," or mature, come to maturity, "thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So he tells you the answer to the persecution you're going to face, the answer to the deceivers, to the evil men and seducers that are going to get worse and worse, the answer is you continue in the Word of God. You continue reading the Word of God, the Bible. You continue studying it, meditating on it, getting that truth down in you, because you're going to have the truth to fight these liars and their deception, their lies. And you're going to have the truth in you so you don't succumb to it. You're not tricked by it. You're not deceived by it. Many are going to be deceived in the days ahead. The deception is going to get worse and worse. Okay? One of the great deceptions coming is going to be the alien deception. That's coming. But let me make it clear to everyone out here. There's no such things as aliens. They're demon spirits and fallen angels, and those are two separate things. And the demon spirits and fallen angels are going to masquerade as aliens in the days ahead. That's going to be one of that deception right there, because so many people worship NASA. They worship space fantasy and space fiction and science fiction. When Satan comes with that deception, Many are going to walk out of the church, walk away from their faith. And this is what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:1. Why don't we put that up there? 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul said, "The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Well, one of the ways they're going to seduce people is they're going to pretend to be aliens. UFO phenomena is real, but it's demonic. It's satanic. And many people are going to depart from their faith in Jesus Christ. The word faith here is faith, saving faith in Jesus Christ. And let me just tell you right now, you can't depart from a faith that you don't have. This idea that I have people all the time, "I'm once saved, always saved, no matter what." No, you're not. You can walk away from it. You know, you can't. And then some people will say, my Baptist brothers and sisters say, "Well, if they depart from it, they fall away from it, they never were saved." Well, let me tell you something. You can't depart from a building you never entered. You can't get out of a car you never got into. You can't jump off a chair you never got on top of. So you can't depart from a faith you never had. Right? And this is the word again. In the Greek, the word faith here is pistis or pistuo, which means saving faith in Jesus Christ. So many will depart from that, giving heed to seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. Another, imposters and doctrines, teachings of devils. Now, why is this so important? Because, folks, it's going to increase in the days ahead. You think it's bad now. What is it going to be a year from now? What's it going to be 2 years from now? 3 years from now? We live in a time where people will lie about anything for money or for power or to push forward their satanic evil agenda. How about this lie? The vaccines are safe and effective. It's funny. 55,000 documents come out in federal court telling us that Pfizer knew they weren't safe and effective. But people like me were telling you this long ago, long time. Oh, how many people got seized by those liars? Safe and effective. Yeah, let's monkey around with your DNA, putting in some mRNA in there, and let's make your DNA create a spike protein that it doesn't normally create. What could go wrong? Safe and effective. Liars. Just wait till the next round comes out. And that's coming too. They got another bioweapon they're going to release on us here pretty soon. Let's go to Matthew 13. We'll go back to this, and this is what, that was just your introduction. Because I felt the Lord really lay this on my heart today. Even though I've preached on this parable of Jesus many times over the years, for some reason the Lord's taking me back to it today. But the parable of the tares and the wheat, this is an end time parable or teaching of Jesus here. And it's not hard to interpret what he's talking about. But let's read it. We're going to start at verse, let's see here. No, I'm sorry. Did I say Matthew 13? I meant Mark 13. That's what you call being tired. Approaching 52,000 miles now. Yep. Trying to get to the tares and the wheat here. It's in Matthew 13, starting 24. I'm all over the place. I was right to begin with. I'm so tired. I thought it was. There it is. You're right. I was looking at something else. Here we go. Yeah, because here's where Jesus explains it to him. All right, yeah. Y'all forgive me. I'm tired. I'm going to tell you what. Where were we? We were in Robertsdale at 10 p.m. What night was that? Friday night. Then had to drive all the way. We had a meeting in Coleman, 7:30 in the morning the next morning. So we had to drive all the way. Had to get a hotel room. Got in bed about 2. I didn't go to sleep till about 4. Got up at 6, actually before 6, had another meeting, had the meeting in Coleman, then had a meeting in Birmingham, and then came home yesterday. So, and that's been all week long. That's what we've been doing. Probably hear it in my voice. But Jesus is our strength. Let's read it here. All right. Verse 21. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, did not thou sow good seed in the field? And from whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both, and this is what the key here, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And then he explains it. So all these things, go over to verse 34, says, all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare or explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now the good seed, we know from the other parable, the seed that Jesus sows is the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, his holy Word. It says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So we don't have to, there's no private interpretation here. Jesus has given the interpretation of his own parable. He says, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. We'll come back to that. And he shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, or after all this, shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, several things about this is that, you know, there's people running around. I remember Joel Osteen. He's such a false teacher. Joel Osteen did a 2008, he did a big night in Yankee Stadium, packed the place out. And I remember watching the whole thing because I wanted to see what he was going to tell that crowd, not to mention all those viewing on television. And what did he tell them? You're all children of God. That right there is the biggest lie Satan ever told, because it's just not true. We are not children of God until we are born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. You must be born again. Jesus said you will not see the kingdom unless you are born again. You have to believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died on the cross and rose from the dead. That is the beginning of all spiritual growth. That is the doorway. And when Jesus said, I am the door, and if anybody tries to come up any other way, he is a thief and a robber. There is no other way. There's not many ways that lead to God. There is one way, and his name is Jesus Christ, because he is God in the flesh, who became a man, lived a sinless life to pay the price for our sins, and it's only the blood of God who became man that can wash our sins away, and it's only God who could make the way back to him. Our world is full of lies. It's full of deceptions. It's full of false gods and false religions. Now, they are gods, little g. There are fallen angels and demons running around pretending to be gods. And they're going to pretend to be a different kind of gods here in the future. They're going to pretend to be aliens that seeded us here, the Prometheus Project. They just recycle the same stories with a new spin here and there. But what we see here, Jesus is clear. There are children of the kingdom who have been born again, who've accepted Jesus Christ, who've repented of their sins. And let me tell you something. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they haven't been born again yet because they haven't repented of their sins. You don't really become born again until you fully surrender to Jesus Christ. You have to go all the way. You have to be willing to say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know this that I'm doing is sin, and I'm willing to turn away from this and follow you. Take up my cross and become a disciple. That's why so many people think they're saved when they're not saved. Because they think, oh, all I have to do is believe. No, you have to believe and follow. Somebody say that with me. Believe and follow. This is one of the biggest false doctrines of Christianity. Just believe, but it doesn't matter if you really follow or not. No, 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 no. You must take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. You must pick up your cross daily and hate sin and love righteousness. You must be willing to obey his word and obey the leading of his spirit. You are not your own anymore. When you truly surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. He is master. He is Lord. He is the boss. He is the jefe. That's why Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Think about that. If somebody said, you're the boss of this company, and I told my employees to do stuff, and they never did it, why do they call me boss? Some folks about to get fired. Christianity is submission, full submission, to the Lordship of Jesus, to the Holy Word of God. You know what got me to submit? I remember I was a drunkard, thinking that because I believed in God and I got saved when I was 11 and 12 years old, I thought that I could be a drunkard and I was fine. Everything was good that God said. I had no concept until somebody walked up and said, Galatians 5 said, no drunkard will inherit the kingdom of God. No drunkard's going to heaven. Drunkenness, habitual drunkenness, is a sin unto eternal death and damnation. And when they showed me that in the Bible, stuck it in my face, the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I knew I got a decision to make. My believing in Jesus was only my first step. My willingness to repent of my sins, my sexual immorality, fornication, my just the Lord, like, and two, not just that. You know what the Lord convicted me of? Not just my drunkenness and drug use and sexual immorality, but he convicted me of just doing everything my own way, making my own plans, having my own ideas. It's like, son, all that has to be crucified with Christ. It has to die. This is why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And Jesus said, if someone does not take up their cross daily and follow me, they say he's not worthy of me. He said, a man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, he's not fit for the kingdom. And Kevin told me one day, he said, when you're plowing a field and you're trying to plow straight rows, he said, if you dare look behind you, what happened? You get off course. And when God was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, he told them, don't look back. The Lot's family. Do whatever you don't look back. You know why God told them not to look back? Because there's nothing there but wickedness and evil and perversion. Ain't nothing there to be looking back to. But Lot's wife, her heart still yearned for Sodom. So she looked back. Turned into a pillar of salt. Somebody say, thank God we're in the new covenant. There's a lot of you'd be statues out there somewhere. You have to start. You have to be born again. See, I'm never going to quit preaching this until Jesus comes or I go be with him. Because if you want to be a child of God and you want to be headed to his kingdom and to eternal life, you better make sure you're truly born again and you're truly a disciple. I say it often, and it's sticking with people. But I tell people all the time, we talk about heaven and hell and how you're going to get to heaven. I can tell you how you're going to get to heaven or how you're going to get to hell. You're going to end up in the place of the one you follow. You can say, well, I follow Jesus. Let's say Jesus is going that way. You can say, I follow Jesus while you're walking with the devil over this way. You're going to end up in the place of the one you follow. Sin, habitual sin, rebellion, lust, living after the lust and the passions of this world ends in eternal damnation. Now people say, preachers don't preach like this. It's old-fashioned, Dean. Pastor Dean, you shouldn't preach like that. Let me tell you who talked about hell more than anybody else. Jesus. Go look it up. One time I looked it up. I said, I'm just going to look up the King James Version, the word hell, in the New Testament. And I found that it's in there 21 times. H-E-L-L. And if you look at it, 14 of the 21 times it's mentioned is actually written in red, meaning Jesus speaking it himself while he walked the earth. In fact, I saw over 100 references to hell in the Bible. 100. And preachers don't even talk about it anymore. Say, Pastor Dean, you're talking about hell on Mother's Day. Yeah. But here's the other thing I want to focus on. So there's children of the kingdom, and there's children of the wicked ones. So you got two groups here, right? Only two groups. Tares and the wheat. I'm going to show you something. It says both grew together until the harvest. Well, what was the harvest? The harvest is the end of the world, right? So what he's telling you there, and what he's talking about is any plant or whatever is going to, as it grows, it's called maturing. The plant will mature to its till it bears fruit, right? Till it's time for harvest. So what he's saying is both the righteous, the children of God, and the children of the wicked one, the evil, are going to mature together. They're going to grow together, meaning they're going to get more of what they are all the way to the end. Meaning you're either going to get more in love with Jesus, more close to Jesus, more righteous, holy, and obedient, and on fire for God, or you're going to be going the other direction. And what that shows me, too, is that you're going to have Christians who are getting on fire for Jesus and becoming what God called them to be and ordained them to be. And you're also going to have the wicked ones becoming fully evil. You know, we're about to see some crazy stuff with this Roe v. Wade. If they overturn that, the Supreme Court overturns it. And it should. It was bad from the beginning. It was wrong from the beginning. It was unconstitutional from the beginning. But they're already crazies talking about going to churches and protesting. Isn't it? Amazing that there's that many people that fanatical about killing babies. Fanatical. I like what I saw a quote from Dr. Ben Carson the other day. He said, if they're not babies, then why are you harvesting organs from them? And I'm sorry. There's no justification for murder, for killing. Sorry. Now, look, I know. You know what you'd be surprised is how many women who sit in church every Sunday morning has had an abortion. I think it was 1/3, isn't it? Isn't that the stat from years ago, though? This is not to condemn you. My wife had an abortion when she was younger. You can find forgiveness for that and healing and deliverance, and she had to find all of that through Jesus. But that still doesn't justify it. Doesn't make it right. It is the murder of another human being. I don't care what you want to call. And it seems like it, even as our ability to see in the womb has become more and more enhanced now. There's no way. When you see the little baby in the womb trying to run from what's trying to kill them and screaming in pain in the womb. And little baby sucking their thumb. I remember my little Caitlin, the ultrasound back in the 90s. This is what my little Caitlin was doing at about, goodness, what was she? It was maybe 4 or 5, 4 months. She was laying, this was on the ultrasound. She was laying in the bottom of her mother's womb, right? And she had her knees up. She had her feet up. She's laying on her back, sucking her thumb, which she did the moment she was sucking her thumb. And she was kicking her legs and floating up and floating back. Now, she was playing. At probably about 3 months, I'm thinking that was when we did the ultrasound. Kicking, playing, just having a good time. Until she ran out of room in there, right? You know, all crunched up. She's getting in some PE before. And you're going to tell me it's okay to kill that. You got the crazy Democrats talking about even it should be okay to kill them after they're born. Not just up until birth, but even after they're born. It should be up to the mother and the doctor. We live in a sick, sick world. I used to have breakfast and lunch once a week with a circuit court judge in Montgomery. And we used to have these discussions. And he used to tell me, hey, you punch a woman that's pregnant and her baby dies in my court, it's murder. And that's true across the whole world. But now you got these crazies that are going to start probably not just protesting in front of churches, but persecuting Christians over it. Remember Jesus said this. He said, you will be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, the abortion issue is going to be one of them. If the Supreme Court does the right thing and overturns Roe v. Wade or just sends it back to the states, the red states like Alabama, we're going to outlaw abortion. And then here we go. The crazies will come out of the woodwork. And they're going to hate churches. And anybody that stands for righteousness or says, you know, killing an unborn child is depriving them of their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Wouldn't you think? You say, well, it's my body. No, you don't have a right to kill somebody else. Period. You don't have a right to deprive them of their rights. So, again, that's why it's wrong. But you want to talk about evil. Well, just you know, somebody leaked that document from the Supreme Court, which was just to stir up all this mess. But guess what? Come the election that's getting pretty close, right? They're talking about the Democrat people are already talking about it's time to burn this thing down again. So we're going to have the riots and we're going to have stuff burning in the background, people throwing stuff at police. And it's going to be called peaceful protest. Because we live in this twisted world. But it's all growing together. And all this evil is going to grow together. And it's going to come to its full manifestation at the end. Right before the harvest. And what is the harvest? The harvest is when Jesus comes and he deals with the wicked and he takes his. But this is what people miss when they read this. You want me to show you what people miss when they read this? They think, oh, wait a minute, there's two groups. There's the children of God, and there's the children of the wicked one, the devil. And the children, all the children of God make it. They don't. Let me show you something. Let's go back to this, verse 38. We'll read from there. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. So right there in verse 40, at the end of the world, it says the tares, the children of the wicked one, will be gathered together and put into the fire. Hell. Is the parable done? No. Let's keep reading. after this. It says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom. Whoa, whoa, time out. Jesus is going to gather out of his kingdom. We just dealt with the tares. Now we're dealing with the kingdom of God. It says, now Jesus is going to gather out of his kingdom. All things that offend in them which do or practice habitually iniquity. Do you see that right there? The word offend is the Greek word scandalon. Those who cause other people to stumble, and those who commit and practice sin, Jesus is going to take. So what he's saying here is we've got some children of the kingdom who were born again, who were born again through faith at some point, but they decided to live as children of the devil. They decided to live in disobedience. They decided to live in sin. They decided to live in injustice, and it says they will be gathered out of his kingdom. Everybody see that? See, another thing, this destroys that, again, destroys that Calvinist, Baptist doctrine of once you're saved, you're always saved, no matter how you live. No, there's going to be the tares taken, set aside. Then the Lord's going to clean up his kingdom. They're going to gather out of his kingdom all things that cause people to stumble. Don't you know there's a lot of people that are Christians that have become lukewarm, compromised, and they cause other people to fall? He says, I'm going to gather out of that. That's not going into my kingdom. We're going to deal with that. This is where he's going to deal with all the Christians who think they can be drunkards, drug users, homosexuals, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters. He's going to gather them out and say, nope. He's going to purge his kingdom. And it says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Ouch. See, this is stuff, again, most churches and pastors this day will not even read this anymore, much less preach on it. Because you know why? It's uncomfortable. You say, Pastor Dean, this makes me a little afraid. Good, that's called the fear of God. That's a good thing. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's right. Why? The fear of the Lord makes you what? Depart from evil. You see, look, if there wasn't state troopers up and down the road, I'd probably be going 120 miles an hour. I know my wife, she'd be going 150. She's from Atlanta. But because of the consequences of going 150 on the interstate, I don't do it. Right? I want to keep my driver's license. I don't want to go to jail. I kind of value my freedom. Right? Yeah, of course my insurance would go out. They'd probably cancel me at 150. I will tell something when I was a teenager. I did get up to 135 on 85 in my Firebird, my 77 Firebird. And it had more it could go to. I backed off. I could have pressed it to the floor. So it looks like cars in front of you that are going about 70 miles an hour, it looks like they're moving backwards. That's how fast you're going. See, I really shouldn't be here, y'all. You want to talk about mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers? That's why I'm here. I'm telling you right now, they prayed for me or I wouldn't be here. Because I pushed the limits, right? But he says here, shall cast them. And look at verse 43. So after he's taken the tares and put them and bundled them and put them into the fire, then he gathers out of his kingdom those who offend and commit iniquity and practice habitually. In fact, it's the present tense Greek verb there, the Greek word praso, those who do practice sin. He gathers out of his kingdom. Then he says this, then. Meaning what? After all this, After we deal with the tares, the children of the wicked one, after we separate out those who have fallen away and become lukewarm in the kingdom of God, then after that shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Why is he saying he who has ears to hear? Because there's a bunch of Christians that won't listen to it. La, 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 la. Don't tell me, Pastor Dean. Don't want to know. See, my job is to tell you the truth, even on Mother's Day, even if it makes you uncomfortable, because ultimately what I want to see is all of you make it there. That's all that matters, folks. This life is the testing ground. This life, the Bible just tells us that we're being tested. Leonard Ravenhill, one of the great preachers of the 20th century, died in the 90s. He used to say that this life is nothing but a dressing room for eternity. And what you better be putting on is the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what are all those pieces of that armor you should be clothing yourself? What do they all have in common? It's all Jesus. He is the Word of God. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our salvation. He is our righteousness. He is the truth. He is the Prince of Peace, and the gospel is all about him. That armor. That's why Paul said it this way. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're either going to put on the Lord Jesus Christ or you're going to put on the world. You're going to dress with one or the other. You got to break free. And look, I know, look, we're all flesh. We all can be tempted. We all can be pulled. The devil attacks our minds and plays games with our minds. Tries to get us discouraged, depressed. Tries to convince us that something, some sinful thing will make us feel better. For some people, it's out going out and spending all their money buying stuff. For some people, it's drugs. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's sexual immorality. But all of that is like, I got to go find something to make me feel better instead of going to the Lord, seeking him until you get his peace and his strength and his grace. So many Christians, y'all, are going to fall away in these last days. Don't let it be you. Don't let it be you. I think that's what Peter, you remember Peter, the apostle Peter, Jesus told him, said, Satan's coming to you to sift you like wheat. Basically, he was telling people, you're going to fall, Peter. And Peter said, there's no way I deny you. I will die with you, Jesus. And the first time it got tested, who is that? I don't know him. Cursing, too. That's right. Peter let that sailor talk come out of his mouth. So don't think you got it all together unless you got it all together. Peter thought he had it together. Satan comes, and you got to be ready. And this is the thing about it. Now what we have, that Peter didn't have at that moment, because Jesus hadn't died on the cross and been resurrected and the Holy Spirit hadn't come to live and dwell in Peter yet. But if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God living in you. You have a helper. And he tries to help you. How many times he say, don't do it. Don't go that way. Warning you, don't go with that person. Don't go to that place. Don't turn that thing on. Yeah, don't say that. Well, we have a helper who's always going to say, the Bible says he will always make a way to escape the temptation that comes. But you have to choose. Am I going to follow him or am I going to follow my flesh? And the temptations are going to get greater in the days ahead. Y'all wouldn't believe how many people told me in just the last couple of weeks. Oh, I got the vaccine. I had to because I would have lost my job. I'm sitting there going, oh, Lord, I hope you got the placebo, the saline. Or the weak batch. I've also had people come up to me and say, my wife got it, my friend got it, my coworker got it, they died. You imagine what else is coming? These evil people have plans for us. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay. Then the coronavirus pandemic was my imagination. And yet I told you about it in 2015. I have the video. I have the audio, actually. 2015. I said they're going to use mRNA. I was talking about mRNA vaccines used to manipulate us and control us in 2015. Well, I don't even remember. I just stumbled across this Prophecy Quake episode that we did in 2015, and I'm like, I listened to the first 20 minutes because I was looking for something else, and I'm like, I don't remember doing that. It was all about vaccines and mRNA vaccines. And I was talking about they're going to use that. They're going to use healthcare and medical issues and vaccines to push us toward total control and the mark of the beast and to take over our free will. I talked about all that in 2015. We'll have to play the clip at some point. I'll pull that clip out and play it. Because I said the other day, I said, I need to pull that, just that 15 or 20 minutes out of that two-hour show and just put that online, 2015. But how do I know? How do I know what they're going to do? Because they tell us. If you study them and you listen to them, they tell you what they're going to do. And they're telling you now. They're causing a food shortage. And it's going to hit us hard in the next 6 months to a year. It's a man-made food shortage. And they're going to start having mRNA plants where basically you're going to get your vaccine in your lettuce. Yep, that's coming. We're going to have Frankenstein food, which we already do to some degree, but we're going to have a whole lot more of it coming. They want to grow everything in these big vertical farms. They don't want to grow anything in just the dirt anymore. They're taking over the food supply and the water supply. Little groups like Vanguard Investments, BlackRock, State Street, they own everything. Trillions. I think just BlackRock alone owns 20-something trillion in investments. Trillion. They own all the food companies, the food processing plants. Bill Gates has joined them buying up farmland. They're stopping the transport of our fertilizer. Biggest fertilizer company, CF Industries. These people own the railroads, and they're stopping the railroads from transporting the fertilizer to the farmers this spring while they need them. They need the fertilizer. This is all being done on purpose. Food processing plants burning all to the ground all over the world. Planes crashing into them. Say drones, maybe? We are up against a very evil, evil group of wealthy, elite people who serve Satan. They are Luciferians. They tell you that openly. And all of this stuff that's happening in the world, none of it is an accident. If you think that, it's time to get your head out of the sand. Because it is happening. The black horse. I remember, I told this a few weeks back, but I told somebody the other day. They were freaking out. Well, I guess it was in Robertsdale the other night. We were talking about the four horsemen of the apocalypse and how the white horse, it says they went forth to conquer. Well, they went forth to conquer, it says, when a crown was given to them. Well, the word corona means crown. And I remember after that, when that happened, and I shared that with you guys, and then I said, the next thing is the red horse that has a great sword will take peace from the earth. I said, well, that's Russia's going to start a war before the Ukraine war started. I told you what was going to happen. Russia right now, just this week, they're parading their nuclear, 10 warhead nuclear missiles in the streets, letting everybody know, keep on, West, keep on, NATO, keep pushing this, and it's going to go all the way. All right? But that's the red horse. The black horse has the pair of balances. It says three measures of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley for a penny. See that you hurt not the oil and the wine. That has to do with economic problems and specifically grain production, wheat and barley, for a day's wages for just one measure of wheat. And little Faith Marie, well, how old was she when she had that? Don't you have that in your phone, the recording? She was little. She was 5 or 6. So she's 12 now. So that's at least 7 years ago. She has a dream. She gets up, tells me her little almost baby, still had that little baby voice. Daddy, I had a dream. And she said, I saw a black horse riding around stealing everyone's food while they were distracted on tablets and phones. And I'm like, here we are. Everybody's into this. Johnny Depp trial. Girlfriend, pooping in his bed. Ooh. Yes, that's true. They're a bunch of Satanists. They just, it's what they do. But that's that foolishness, and nobody knows about the food processing plants burning down all over the world. Distraction. Nobody knows. Oh, what was the other distraction? I don't know. There's a bunch of stupid ones. But everybody's like this. Let me play Wordle. The world is burning down around you, and you're playing Wordle. You should be planting a garden. Or Candy Crush. And you should be planting a garden. Did you hear I said that twice? You should be planting a garden. Getting some chickens. They come to get my chickens, they're going to find out that my chickens have armed guards. I know we got to get some. My wife said, we don't have chickens yet. I said, I know we need to get some. Yeah. But I'm telling you, folks, none of this is by accident. Why? Evil's growing together. It's maturing together. Food has always been used as a weapon. Always. In every battle, every war, food becomes a weapon. So, do I believe Jesus can take care of us and multiply our food in the midst of it? Yes. Do I believe we need to sit on our butts and do nothing? No. You need to get yourself prepared for what's coming. But ultimately, you got to get close to Jesus. That's it. Because there'll be times he's going to tell you something. He wants to speak to you in the midst of all this craziness of something he wants you to do. That's going to help you and your family or help you be a light or a witness in the situation. So get yourself ready, folks. The deception and the deceivers are going to get worse and worse. The lies, the pressure, the persecution is going to get worse and worse. The economic difficulties, The prices on everything are going up. Yep, gas is about to go up again. I saw barrels of oil went $110 a barrel, went up again. So it's going, you're going to see it go up again. Probably today or tomorrow. You'll see them go up again. Diesel fuel is crazy. Chicken is almost hard to find now. Wheat is in so many different foods, you're going to start seeing all kinds of shortages on all kinds of things. And Americans who thought it could never happen here are about to get a rude awakening. Because we have leaders, folks. And if you voted, if you actually voted for Biden, you deserve everything that's coming upon you. Because it shouldn't be a shock to you. Mr. Biden and his crew, the Obama crew, they've been telling you. What did Obama tell us when he was in office? He was going to fundamentally transform America. He was caught walking around with a book calling The Post-American World, something like that. He was trained by Frank Marshall Davis, a known Soviet agent communist. They all talked about Obama, Biden, Clinton, Bush. They all talked about we're going to create a new world order, and that means we're going to weaken the sovereignty and power of the United States, and we're going to make the United States yield to a UN world government. They don't mince words. They tell you exactly what they were going to do. Right now, the pandemic, the UN World Health Organization pandemic treaty is being prepared. They're meeting in May to pass it, and Biden has put amendments in there surrendering the sovereignty of the U.S. to the United Nations, the World Health Organization, if another pandemic hits, which is why I'm telling you another pandemic will hit. And they are putting us, Biden is putting us under the authority of the UN if it happens again. And everybody just goes, oh, Pastor Dean. That's why we're doing it. It's coming upon us. So, what do we need to do? Be men and women of prayer. Draw near to Jesus. Live holy and righteous as you can. Be a light and a witness for Jesus. And plant a garden and get some chickens. And get a well. And do what you need to do. Trust me, if things get ugly, you say, well, I can't prepare for a year or two or three. That's fine. That's, well, you know, not many people can. But I tell you what. If the power goes out for 2 months, what are you going to do? If you go to the store and there's nothing. Matter of fact, why don't you pull up that trailer again? I'm going to play that Gray State. Who's seen the trailer for Gray State? I've played it for our group. Oh, y'all hadn't seen it? About half of you? You think you can find it? What's eerie about this movie that never got put out? Because the producers and the people making it got killed. It's how accurate it is. Well, just watch the scene in the grocery store. This is coming right here. Happened while we were sleeping. Watching everything we do. I Hyperinflation. Travel suspended. Cell phones turned off.
Since last night's declaration of martial arts, soldiers are moving into secure key areas in all major cities.
FEMA. Every weapon of the state. Things were.
Of every enemy of the state.
And then I woke up here. If you didn't notice, the man at the guillotine had on a Freemason apron. That's what got him killed. The people made the movie. But this was, you know how long this, I remember showing this trailer in 2011. Everything in it is coming to pass. Hyperinflation, travel suspended. Big brother watching everything you do. People said back then, I remember back then, conspiracy theorists, not going to happen, never happen. Here we are. And what is Revelation 20 said? I saw those who were beheaded for the word of God and for their testimony. Yeah, they got the guillotines too, ready to roll out. But that's for another sermon. That might be a little too heavy for Mother's Day. Right. Father's Day. We'll do that one on Father's Day. We can handle it. We can handle it. Look, I want to say something. I know there's some young people in here. You don't be afraid, because we're not going to be afraid because we have Jesus. And no matter what they try to do to us, no matter what happens, either Jesus delivers us in that moment or we go be with him in that moment. We don't lose. Amen? And if we go be with him in that moment, we will be back shortly on white horses. And they're going to go, I thought I got rid of that guy. No. Let's stand. You know what I want to do? Your mercy runs much deeper. We're going to do one more song before we leave this morning. And look there. It's only a few minutes after 12. I normally go to 12:30. So y'all get out early on Mother's Day. That's my gift to you. But let's do this song right here. Because you know what? There is nowhere else to go. I love the part of this song. Where will we go? There's nowhere else to go but Jesus. He is our salvation, our redeemer, our deliverer. He's our hope. He's our shield. He's our eternal life. He's everything we need. Make sure you know him. Amen. Let's do it.
Your grace that rescues me, your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace that rescues me, Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper, your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life, life. Where could I go? Where would I stay? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Much farther than I can see. Shelter of your hand. just tell me, where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelf? I don't want to leave, Lord. I don't want to leave your hand, Lord. Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter? I don't want to leave the shelter of your hand, Lord. I'm gonna stay right here beside you, Lord. Where could I go? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Lift your voice, church, to the Lord.
Song again. I want to say this. If anybody out here, if you need to give your life to Jesus, if you're not truly born again and you want to make that decision, that step today, you haven't done it, or you're backslidden this morning, you know you're part of the lukewarm, you're part of the kingdom that might be plucked out. I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to give you the opportunity to come down here and we're going to pray with you and let you pray. Make things right with the Lord this morning. Go ahead, you can start it over. Anybody that needs, say, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I want to be saved this morning. Or I know I've fallen away. I've become lukewarm. And I need to rededicate my life. I need to ask for forgiveness of my sins. I want you to come on down right now. Go ahead. Anybody? Bible is clear. You say, why do you do altar calls? Well, I don't do them all the time. Pastor Troy said he felt like it, and I agree. You confess Jesus before men, he will confess you before the Father which is in heaven. That's why we do it.
Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace, it rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life, life. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace, it rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see. Your mercy goes much deeper. Your grace, it rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper, and farther than I can see. I reach for you when I'm going under. I wait for you, Jesus, you're my life, life. Where could I go?
There's nowhere else to go.
Where where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand?
Never gonna leave the Lord. Come on. Never. Never gonna walk away from Jesus. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We worship you. Our King. Our Savior. Our God. The way, the truth, and the life. Glory! Sing it out!
Where could I go? Where would I stand? How could I leave the shelter of your hand? Oh, where could I go? Where would I stand? Of your hand, your mercy goes much deeper, your grace rescues me, your mercy goes much deeper, farther than I can see, your mercy goes much deeper, your grace rescues me. Your mercy goes much deeper and farther than I can see, farther than I can see, much farther than I can see.
Church to the Lord.
Where could I go?
Where
my lifeline. You're my lifeline, Jesus. I reach for you.
Let me tell you, there's power in the blood of Jesus. Isn't it good to know? The Bible says this, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a simple decision. And the Bible says this, if we walk in the light, this is in 1 John 1:2, if we walk in the light, which means in the light of God's word and the truth of it, if we will walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's part of that. Yes, you have to confess it, but you also have to choose to walk in the light. But if you do, if you keep walking with Jesus, keep walking in the light, the blood of Jesus keeps cleansing you. Because we'll never be perfectly sinless. We'll always have issues and struggles. But it will not have dominion over us. See, Paul said in Romans, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. But then he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We don't continue in sin. But what he's saying there, he gives us the grace. He gives us the strength where sin will be the exception in our life and not the rule of our life. If it rules you, you need to be set free. You need deliverance. But as a Christian, you should be able to walk in the light and not walk in darkness. Amen. Let's do this. This is a song, Washed Clean. And I'll let you go, I promise, after this. I know some of you got to run to see your mother, and that's a good thing. I wish I could go see mine. But I'll see her in heaven because I led her to Jesus in 1987. Amen. Go ahead and turn it up.
truly sees. Now everything that you've done for me, Lord, I'm tired and I'm torn. My face is on the floor. I break these chains and set me free. Lord, I wanna be washed clean. Don't you know I wanna be washed clean? Father, take away my pride. Just send it all aside.
Sing it out to him. We come to you today and we thank you for your presence here today, for your peace, the fact that you love us, that even that while we were yet in sin, you loved us and died for us. And Lord, you draw us and you bring us to the place where we can be washed clean. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for each and every one that you've touched today, that you've spoken to, that you've convicted of sin, that you've washed clean again. Lord, we all need to be washed clean. in the blood of Jesus, washing our sins away. And we thank you for that. And we thank you, God, just for everything you've done, for your presence today. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone, but especially bless the mothers today. Lord God, we thank you for godly mothers that pray for us and teach us and encourage us. Bless them, strengthen them. And if there's mothers out there this morning that don't know you, bring them to know. Bring them to know you, Lord. We pray this all today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. Go ahead and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, y'all know the drill. I know a lot of you probably have lunch appointments with family or parents, but if you don't and you want to stay, of course, we do on Sundays. You go get what you want from restaurants nearby and come back and we eat downstairs. So you're invited to do that again this Sunday if you want to. We're going to be here for a while. So go get you something and come back if you want to. If not, we love you. Have a wonderful Mother's Day, the rest of it, and hug some necks before you leave.